couple of last, we're still, this is going to be side three of the interview with David Keeper regarding the Gulf War. In closing, the war's over now, basically. What's your opinion on Saddam Hussein? Do you think we should have finished him off while we were there?
Well, we probably should have in hindsight. But it would have, we would have lost a lot more U.S. lives going into, trying to go into Baghdad. Although we were close to Baghdad, and it was pretty much of a route, we would have had to do one of two things. We'd have had to kill a lot of civilians, or we would have lost considerable more U.S. soldiers. So the decision was made that it was not worth it. They thought that he was a goner politically. But obviously, you know, he wasn't. But they're still not in much of a threat. He keeps posturing, but U.S. intelligence knows that he can't support anything like a deployment for more than a few days. You know, all the little threats he's doing, he's done in the past, they just collapse on their own because his soldiers are not being paid. They're not being fed very well. And we've destroyed so much of their military capability, they can't get spare parts. We've got embargoes and everything on. They can't get spare parts for things. They even have problems getting fuel.
Wow.
Because we blew up all the refineries and stuff.
So we kind of left them handicapped at least.
Yeah. So, although he's a little bit of a threat, it's more of a nuisance than anything else. He really can't sustain any military activity for any length of time. His troops just keep going AWOL. Every time they go, he does a big thing, a big push to the Kuwait border and lines up on the border. We sit there and look at our little satellite photos, and you can see all the soldiers just walking away. I mean, just it looks like ants.
And you can't blame them after what they've been through. They just walk home. Yeah,
literally,
really,
hundreds of miles. They walk across the desert to get home, and he can't, or they steal vehicles and drive, and he can't sustain any long term military commitment.
What's the old saying? Once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah.
So now that you're back home, there's been this thing going around called Gulf War Syndrome. Have you seen any repercussions of that? Or
yeah, I've had a little bit of problem.
What do you think that is? We hear a lot in the media, but no one's...
Well, they don't really know. I think it is a combination of toxins and some chemical exposure. We had chemical alarms in our campsite, and they went off a good bit. They went off when, especially when we got the dark clouds coming in from Iraq. And we know that our Air Force destroyed a lot of his storage facilities.
Yeah.
Well, the wind was blowing in. Some of those storage facilities were around. The temporary storage facilities were around where the oil well fires are. And so we were getting the black smoke from the oil well fire.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's going to have some effect.
The toxic chemicals from the chemical storage facilities are going that far, too, if the smoke is. So I think what it was a combination of low-level chemical contaminants, whether it's commercial chemical contaminants from the oil well fires and other contaminants that we deal with, or whether it's partially from some of this chemical stockpile. Also the drugs they gave us. They gave us a lot of untested drugs. We were injected with...
Really?
We were injected with stuff. We had to take pills of stuff that was untested. We had an anthrax shot that was probably the most painful shot I've ever had, and everybody got sick afterwards. We have people from our unit that have baffled medical people throughout the United States, experts. We have one member of our unit, he's a major, full-time employee of the unit, that has been at Walter Reed, he's been at the Mayo Clinic, and they shake their heads and say, it's impossible what you have, and you still be alive. He tests positive for typhoid and hepatitis B and C. And hepatitis switches back and forth. One day it'll say B, one day it'll say C.
Huh.
But he doesn't have it. It shows that he's in the most infectious first stages of hepatitis. It's been showing that since we've got back 5 years. That's impossible. You only stay in that phase about 2 weeks. But he should still, all his tests, sometimes he tests clean.
How's he feeling? I mean, as far as, does he look okay?
He never looked okay, but considering, he goes back and forth. There are times that he's bedridden.
Huh.
He's coughed up blood, gone through periods of coughing up blood, been very anemic. And then there's times that he's home. We have two other people in the unit that are basically disabled. They don't have hardly any motor function anymore. They can't lift a book. They can't walk unsupported without a cane or anything. They tire walking across a room. They get tired and have to sit down. We've had one soldier that has died. He was 40 years old, died of a heart attack. Had never had any heart problems before, had no family history of heart attacks, was not really overweight, and died suddenly of a heart attack. We had my boss when we got back. The day we got back, they tried to put him in the hospital because his heart rate was so high. Blood pressure was sky high. 3 months later, he was fine. His was caused by stress. So there was a lot of stress.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He was in a very stressful job because he was kind of caught between the middle of our commander and XO who were fighting the whole time. He was kind of caught in the middle. Plus, he was the one responsible for our mission, all the ammunition, getting it sent back home and everything. Plus, he had a major job at home that he was, losing out on, and he was worried that he would even have the job when he got back home. He had a job that he made between $80,000 and $90,000 a year, and so his bills and lifestyle were used to that $80,000 or $90,000 a year, and here he's called up and making $30,000 a year.
Big switch.
So he was looking at the possibility of losing his farm, his home, everything. So there were people like that that had those kinds of stresses. Our commander lost his job. He was not hired back when he came. He was the headmaster of a military academy.
That's sad.
In Alabama. He lost his job. We have people, we had there was about 12, 14 divorces in the unit. So there was a lot of social type problems there.
Lucky for you, your wife stood by you, didn't
you? Yeah. It's kind of ironic. A lot of the family problems that came about because of our family support group that's supposed to support the families. In reality, what happened is it became a rumor mill. And there was a lot going on in there, including there was one of the ladies left her husband while we were over there and left the kids with, said, "You got to come back and take care of the kids because I'm not taking the kids with me." So he came back home on emergency leave, and he ends up taking another guy's wife.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing a bit of your life with us.
Okay.
And for future generations to come.
Okay.
I appreciate it. During one of the breaks between turning over the tapes and changing tapes, Mr. Kiefer had brought many different photographs, some plaques and awards that he had earned from the the war, which were very interesting and very useful in my understanding of the war. And my gratitude and appreciation go to Mr. David Kiefer for his efforts in helping with this project.